You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're all great.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. And you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Stephen Powell, Dale Gibson and Gareth Topham in the studio, racing on the flat at Salisbury and Nottingham during Wednesday afternoon. We've also got jumping from Bangor and we've got evening action on the all-weather poly track at Kempton Park. So plenty to go at, and do tune in for all of that. We're going to look ahead to some of the action. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined in the studio by Kevin O'Malley. How are you, Kev?
Not too bad at all, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Not too bad. We've just come off the back of the Arc, which is obviously a huge race.
Yes.
Got some good racing coming up this weekend. We're not too far away from the jump season. We've got Champions Day on the horizon as well. Not a bad time of year.
No, it's a great time of year. It's difficult from a form student point of view. You've got saturated form lines from the flat. Makes it a bit more difficult. Then you've got sloppy ground and jumpers coming in as well. So it can be quite tricky from a punting point of view. But other than that, it's all very exciting stuff.
It is. And as far as exciting stuff goes, we haven't really seen a filly quite as exciting as Enable for a little while. And Frankie Dettori, a lot of quotes of him saying that she's definitely up there with the best he's ridden, possibly the best filly he's ever been on board as well. How highly do you rate her off the back of the Arc performance?
Yeah, I mean, there was a few people trying to knock the Arc form based on the fact that Cloth of Stars came second in the race. But at the end of the day, Cloth of Stars is a Group 1 winner. He was prepared to the minute by Andre Faub for that race. And he put in a career best performance. And he got, you know, he got on top of Ulysses. I mean, the form is just about as strong as you're going to find. And, you know, she didn't just win by half a length. To confirm her superiority over them, she absolutely thrashed them. So we really don't know how good she is. We just know that she's one of the best fillies we've seen for years.
Yep.
But I mean, we have been spoiled in recent years with an abundance of top fillies. Obviously, Trev, in terms of middle distance, she would be the top name. And now Enable, in terms of middle distance filly, she's just as good as you're going to get. Frankie was able to put her anywhere he wanted to in the race. He was right up there in the hot seat from the word go. And she's outstanding. She's outstanding. She stays. She's got class, ability. She seems to have a good head on her shoulders as well. And it was a really exciting performance.
There's obviously been comparisons with Trev due to the fact that she's a three-year-old filly getting the allowances. Frankie says he wants to see her next year. I think we all want to see her back out as a four-year-old. Do you think she's up to back-to-back Arc successes?
Yeah, absolutely. It wouldn't surprise me if she lost a couple of races along the way, much in the way that Trev did. You know, they're only horses, they're not machines, so I wouldn't expect her to go on a winning rampage next year and then turn up at the Arc at 1-3 on or something like that. You know, I think she'll be given a light campaign, assuming she's kept in training. We can only hope she is. She'll probably have three or four races maximum, with obviously her defending the Arc being the main goal.
Anybody who thinks that Enable can defend the Arc, and she will next year, 3-1 she's in the market. If she gets there with the ideal preparation, she probably won't be 3-1 on the day, but it's obviously getting there again, isn't it? But,
you know, we know how good Aidan O'Brien's string of 2-year-old fillies are. You know, how are they going to be after a winter? What are his 3-year-old fillies going to be like next season, the likes of Happily? You know, they could improve and give Enable some problems, as you know, when she's not getting her 3-year-old allowance as well. So it'll be interesting to see how she trains on. I'm sure they're just going to be really patient with it, see how she takes this race, see how she takes her winter. And they're not the type of people, they don't need to make any rash decisions with her, but hopefully they'll keep her in training and we can see her again next season.
Yeah, hopefully so. One horse we may not see next year is Acclaim. He's done for the season, apparently, and Martin Mead saying we may not see him again. May end up in,
I think they want to they want to make a sire out of him, and rightly so. He's got the constitution. He's tough. He's got loads of ability, but you know he does leave himself vulnerable. Certainly, when he steps up to Group Ones at a mile against the best milers around, if he does stay in training, he'd be found wanting. Equally, if he dropped back to six, he might not quite have the pace to win group ones over six. And there's not too many over seven. He's won one of them now. He's won one of them now. And yeah, I can't see why they wouldn't retire him. I'd be really interested. I think he could make a top sire. Mm. I think he could be a really good sire acclaim. So I'm interested to see how he gets on in that regard.
Yeah, apparently a decision will be made in the next few weeks, whether he stays in training or whether he goes to a career at stud. Mm. Anything else on your mind, Kevin? Anything else?
No, not particularly. I'm glad it's October and not September anymore, because I had an outstanding August punting wise, and then September was almost the complete opposite. So it was a bit frustrating, September. I was from a punting point of view, but October. You know, there's lots of racing coming up. The Cambridgeshire meeting, obviously, the Champions Day. The jumpers are coming in. Yeah, lots to get stuck into, and I'm just looking forward to it all as usual.
When do you change your attention to jumpers? When do you get back in the old form books?
It's just a steady transition, isn't it? The more familiar names you see coming out, the more you kind of just get back into it as the flat form tapers off. It's kind of like a natural transition now. I used to prefer the jumps to the flat, but now I like both equally. So it's just a case of trying to make that transition as seamlessly and as cost effectively as possible, which can be quite difficult.
I think we're only about 3 weeks away from the first meeting at Cheltenham or something like that, which is coming around fast.
Yeah.
Although we often talk about Cheltenham prematurely.
I haven't been to Cheltenham for 2 years. I need to put that right as soon as possible.
Yes. Great place, Cheltenham. Mm. That's that then. That's a bit of a chat about the news and so on and so forth. Let's have a look to some of Wednesday's action then. Kevin's got two races that he has a decent opinion in. They're both at Kempton, and the first of them is the 7:40 there, which is a Class 3 handicap. A mile is the trip. We've got a field of 14 set to go to post for this one, so quite an open handicap, but I suppose Brilliant Vanguard would be the obvious starting point given that he arrives here in superb form.
Yeah, he does indeed. He comes here on a four-timer. but I just worry about his draw a little bit. He's drawn out in 14. He's only been put up £4 for his last win, which is kind of fair. And you know, if he can get a good early position, he's sure to go close again. I just wonder whether he's going to be a little bit vulnerable here. Another one to note is Don't Give Up. Drops to a mile. Puts on cheek pieces for the first time for Godolphin, but was disappointing the last day at Haydock, and it's quite hard to forgive that run for me. The one that I'm interested in each way is Big Baz for William Muir and Kieran Schumark. He's got an excellent record on the all-weather. He's won four and been placed three times from 10 runs, including a win and a second at Kempton. He hasn't found the net since November of 2015, but his mark is slipping down now. And he's got a decent chance here off a mark of 94, I think. He posted a good speed figure at Doncaster last time out. He's down in class here, and I think Big Baz has conditions to suit and go very close here under Kieran Schumark.
Big Baz, the selection for Kevin then. Hopefully an each-way price in that 7:40 at Kempton, and the other race that we're looking at is the 8:10 at Kempton Park. This one a Class 4 handicap over the extended... Well, it's almost a mile and three furlongs, if we're honest. 14 of them set to go to post for this one as well. And where would you like to start in there, Kevin?
I think we have to start with Roger Charlton's runner here, Ply, who I'd be happy to put up as my nap tomorrow for the podcast. He's a really scopey gelding by Dubawi, who, like many of Roger Charlton's, has taken a little bit of time to learn the game. He was disappointing in a few of his starts. He wasn't devoid of promise in a couple of those runs. But he was really impressive here 8 days ago. He travelled very powerfully, and he found a really swift turn of foot to win by 4.5 lengths in really good style. And it just seems unlikely that a £6 penalty is going to be enough to stop him. Of those that could stop him, Pioneer Town is a bit of a danger. He's stepping back in trip, which is an angle I like. He's a typical Prescott Project horse. He scored handsomely at Newcastle last time out, and he takes a drop in trip, as I say. But you just have to wonder if he'll have the pace for Ply, given the turn of foot that one produced. Romanor is another one. Won well last time out at Windsor. This is his all-weather debut, and I just think one or two others might have a bit too much experience on this track for Romanor. So, no, I do think this is a really good opportunity for Ply to follow up that win here last time out. I think he'll go close.
Was it an intentional Kieran Schumark double, or is it just happened to fall that way?
Just happened to fall that way, yeah. Believe it or not. Yeah, two different trainers, two different horses.
Yeah.
But he's a good young jockey, I know
he
that
is,
much.
Yeah. Could have a good night there at Kempton then. Good stuff, Kevin. And you said that Ply was probably the stronger opinion of the pair.
Yeah, I'd put up Ply. It's certainly going to be shorter in the market. And with that £6 penalty, I'd expect him to go very close. He appeared to me as a type of horse that a handicapper doesn't quite have a grip on yet. So I think that horse is going to go very well tomorrow, hopefully. And hopefully Big Baz can put in a big effort as well.
Superb. Thank you very much, Kevin. Good luck and enjoy the action on Wednesday.
Cheers, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Kevin O'Malley on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. Stephen Powell, Dale Gibson and Gareth Topham, the team in the studio. Salisbury, Nottingham and Bangor, the afternoon meetings. It's Kempton Park throughout the evening, so do join us for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.